Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and holy uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing great, Adam. I'm feeling good. I'm a little tired,
are
actually.
Are you, Daniel?
Yeah.
We got up.
That's how good we're doing.
It's all right, Daniel. This is some of the things I spent a lot of time cutting out at 5:20 this morning.
Yeah, we were up late. We went on a romp last night and with all the pallies. And I'm feeling it. But I got up this morning. I've been to Target. I've already more.
I thought you were gonna say church.
No, didn't go to church. Although I might go to church after the happenings of this morning. With a whole, helicopters flying out of the sky. I don't know how old people make it so many years because of how many sad things can happen.
I was hoping you weren't going to bring this up, Daniel. By the time this podcast releases, everyone is going to be way past.
Yeah, let's not talk about it. This show isn't about this. We have a guest again.
But also now the entire preamble of the podcast is you talking about helicopters flying out of the sky and old people being sad with no context.
How amazing it is. I like how it occurred to you how amazing it is that old people live as long as they do because something bad didn't befall them when they were young.
I just assume that old people would be super duper sad because of how many sad things can happen by the, I don't know, like the time you get old. I don't know.
Even because everyone else has died but you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the voice of our fantastic, fantastic guest, Jordy. Jordy, I didn't ask you if you wanted your full name on the podcast, so I'm not going to give it. but if we have any problems with your audio, it's because we're importing it from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. This is a long-distance dial, buddy.
This is the natural audio.
Yeah,
from the natural state. Do you know why Arkansas is a natural state? Wasn't it something else before that?
I thought it was all the hairy women.
Oh, okay.
And the Ozarks.
What was it before? Was it the land? It wasn't the land of opportunity, was it? Was that another state?
No, I think it was. I think it was.
Was it? Hmm. I just thought that was America.
No, well, in our case, for today, the land of opportunity is Egypt.
Yeah.
Oh,
because and Jordy,
getting out.
Well, getting in to get out.
Yeah,
we going to bust them out. So where we left off right in the middle of Moses talking to the burning bush, and that's where we pick up in Exodus 4, is just directly with Moses talking to the bush. Jordy, do you remember the Moses story pretty well?
Yeah, they picked him up in a basket. Somebody shipped him downriver.
His mama.
His mom.
Well, and in the Bible, apparently, they don't ship it down the river. They just drop it in some reeds on the bank and walk away.
Okay.
And it stays there.
I'm thinking about all the animated Moses stories I've seen.
Yeah, those sweet embellishments.
Where he goes whitewater rafting as a baby. Did they get him? Make him a prince.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer that in the actual story, Moses doesn't actually float anywhere. They just kind of stick him in a thicket almost.
They thought he was going to go far, and then he just gets caught up in some reeds and then just hangs out there for a bit.
Yeah, and it really seems like they put him in the reeds, and then they almost pretty much just hide around the corner behind a rock. And then somebody who finds, like, he wasn't there very long,
Yeah.
That is, what they do is they're planting it on purpose. They know that the women are going to come down and bathe in that spot in like a few minutes.
Yeah.
So,
and women
leave them there to be discovered.
Yeah.
But that's old news. Cause at this point, Moses has already left Egypt after killing a man.
Yeah.
And hiding him in the sand.
Yeah.
And, he's got a wife, he's got a family, and he's talking to a burning bush. So I'm going to start reading Exodus 4. I usually use the World English Bible because it's royalty or it's public domain, but I'm going to use the New International Version this time because the World English Bible sucks. So maybe we'll get in trouble someday. And just a general summary of this chapter so we can interrupt it as we read it. Moses talks to God. God tells him he's going to Egypt, and Moses is like, I don't want to. So here we go. Here's Exodus 4 from the NIV. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." And then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back in your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. this is some grade A Bible magic.
I know. I love when God does this to these guys. Where he, you know, it's always been under the guise of, "You got to do what I say no matter what." And it's just fun games. It's just fun. Like, doesn't the bush make him take his shoes off too? Or something when he walks? It's like, "Take your sandals off.
This is holy, baby."
Yeah. Don't come around him with sandals on.
Yeah.
All right. This is as ridiculous as the whole Tower of Babel situation. This is God pulling out some of the nonsense he did then, or at least this kind of random acts. Like, he's like, "Okay, I need to prove to Pharaoh that I guess God's real." I don't know. But he like teaches them magic tricks to prove it. Like, that's how we're going to do it.
A very odd and specific magic tricks.
That really, he doesn't even imbue Moses with the powers to do them. Because, I mean, I'm fast-forwarding a little bit, but Moses will try them later, and they don't always work.
Because wait, is that true?
Yeah, because that's, I mean, if you want to talk about, like, getting into the land of milk and honey, right? They spend the 40 days, he's wandering around with them. And then he gets really frustrated and like tries to beat a rock to get some water to come out of it, and it doesn't work. And God's like,
"Oh yeah,
you're too hasty. You're done."
Well, that wasn't one of the preordained skills. You got leper skin and you got snake staff. Yeah, if you had to have one or the other, what would you pick?
Snake staff.
I think you got to go snake staff. I mean, the leper skin thing. I mean, you could probably get like one of those traveling, like if it's the olden days, like the 1860s or something, you could have one of those traveling shows where you get a cart and a horse and you go from town to town and you put your hand in your cloak and then pull it out and you're like, "Ah, look at it," and then you put it back and it goes back to normal. Like, you could do that.
Yeah, you could sell like snake oil that way. Be like, "It cured me."
Yeah, I guess that's really the only advantage.
Yeah, no, snake staff is cooler.
Yeah.
I'm going snake staff too. All right, so I'm picking up with verse 8. The Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else."
I like that he's
I really love that God gives him magic powers and he's like,
I don't want to, Lord. I don't think so.
And also, I asked for your help, and all you could do was give me a snake and some leper skin.
It's like, the Lord has said before that, like, people would die if they actually saw him or looked upon him or something. So, like, he has that kind of power, but then all he can come up with is the snake staff. And then he says, this is actually the first time I think we've seen this in the Bible. He explains why he makes. Well, he doesn't explain, but he explains that he makes people deaf and mute on purpose, you know, for whatever reason. And then he doesn't explain why.
I think the way it's supposed to be interpreted is that I'm responsible for everything. So
yeah, so he's just like, I don't know, sometimes I make him deaf and mute. I do that, you know, so it's
like, it's, yeah, you turn it off, turn it on, you know, snip snap, snip snap.
I guess he's trying to say that he's like, well, you could be deaf and mute, at least you can speak, even though you, I,
you know. No, I think what he's saying is like, I know that you're not a good speaker. I'm aware I made you, like, and also I could make you speak well if I wanted to,
but I won't. Yeah.
But I won't. Yeah, here's, get this. This is verse 14. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it." So God gets really angry, and apparently his he gets really angry and is like, "Well, guess what? Your brother can speak and he's coming." As if it's a punishment.
Well, yeah, he just gets frustrated with Moses being so weak. I don't remember Moses being this weak.
He's Bilbo Baggins.
He's just a shepherd, guys. You know, he
but he used
really
to be a prince.
Well, yeah, but he feels more shepherdy these days.
I mean, he is living with Jethro as like just a guy living on, you know, I guess a farm, you know, a farm shepherded.
And if we're to believe DreamWorks' Prince of Egypt, that farm is pretty great. Beautiful dancing people out in the desert. Having a good time singing See the World Through God's Eyes or some shit. Like, who wants to leave that?
Definitely not Moses.
No, absolutely not. So this is, I got a little subtitle here called Moses Returns to Egypt, or I guess just a, I don't know what it is. Verse 18. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me return to my own people in Egypt and see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and sons and put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do, all three of them. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, 'This is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son.'"
He's driving a hard bargain here.
So
this is what I've been waiting for, Daniel. This is what I keep talking about. I love this setup where God does all this stuff, and it is going to convince Pharaoh, but God's going to be like, "Nah, I'm hardening your heart so that you continue to be a bastard so I can punish you further."
I think he really just likes animal blood. You know what I mean? He wants a lot of people who have an animal blood on doors. We know what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
We know it's about to happen.
Well, I mean, our listeners might not, Jordan.
Oh, that's true.
And I barely do.
Spoilers.
All right, what, Daniel?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's about to get lit up in here in this next piece of information.
This is verse 24. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. What? But
wait,
Zipporah...
Read it again.
At a lodging place along the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took out a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. "Surely you are a..." Sorry, I need a second. I did not remember. And I just read this and somehow didn't. I think maybe we started working on your audio, Jordy, right as I got to the cutting off of the foreskin.
Okay.
"Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me," she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, "bridegroom of blood," referring to circumcision. So clearly circumcision is the ultimate power that man has on earth to get on God's good side.
Yeah. Kellogg.
I never realized how important it was.
Kellogg, the serial man, he knew this power. He was all about genital mutilation. Yeah.
That's right.
He knew the powers of that and cornflakes.
I stumbled upon a YouTube channel the other day that had, like, every video had, like, 5,000 views. So, like, a pretty small channel, but with, like, a solid audience. And it was this guy and his crusade against the people who have circumcised others and how the people need to die and there needs to be a death penalty enforced against, you know, people who circumcise without consent. And it was, you know, these 5,000 people who were like, yeah, we gotta reverse what's been done wrong to us.
I know that Daniel has a lot to say. I know that Daniel has a lot to say about this.
This episode's gonna take a lot of editing, boys.
Yeah, the circumcision.
There's gonna be a lot of cutting out of it.
Well, I'm just trying to be polite because I know that Daniel has so many things that he has to say about extra penis skin. Like, it's a big thing.
It's huge in the Bible.
It's huge in the Bible. I was always like, what is it, a European thing? You know, you always know the one kid who's got, you know, who said something about it, and it was different.
The first other wee-wee I remember seeing that was not my wee-wee was uncircumcised.
Oh, dear.
And I was confused. I thought maybe everybody's wee-wee was just, like, a different Pokemon, you know? Like, maybe we all had wildly different wee-wees.
And I just thought that women had only testicles and no penis. So it was a crazy time. No one really knew what anyone had.
I like that idea a lot. The important part. Well, they have everyone the important was saying, part, which is the testicles.
Yeah, everyone was saying that girls don't have a penis. It's like, oh, so they just have balls. That sucks. They can't even complete the Triforce.
I will say in the research, because it kind of comes out of left field. Like, why does the Lord all of a sudden want to kill Moses out of the blue? You know, but in the research, it's for whatever reason, people think that God just randomly got mad because he found out that they hadn't circumcised their son yet. And so that's why he wanted to kill him. It was just like, you know, why haven't you chopped that wee-wee yet? And they're like, okay, fine. Ah, did it, you know.
What about rubbing it on Moses's feet?
That one, I couldn't really figure out why they did that. And I don't think anybody, I couldn't find, it's one of those, like, I didn't find a straight answer right away, so I don't think there's an easy one.
The answer's it's so frustrating there's not more in this, because the scenario is so epic. They're like, riding along this desert road on a donkey, and then God shows up, and Zipporah, who's apparently badass, like, jumps off the donkey and pulls out a knife and, like, faces down God, and then turns around and cuts part of her son's wee-wee off right quick. Like, just like, what a combat motion. Move. And yeah, drops it on her husband's feet.
Well, I will say that the Quest Bible claims that Zipporah, because she was a Midianite, came from that place where they're living anyways, that she didn't necessarily, she wasn't into circumcision, and only did it to save
personally. That was just her worldview.
Yeah, she just wasn't about it, but she did it to save Moses's life. And the whole putting it on his feet thing is to be like, you know, kind of like an affront to Moses, like, you know, fine, I did it to save you, but here you go, you asshole, here's mush on your feet, you know screw you, dude. It's like, I didn't want to do this, but your Lord was trying to kill you, but I saved your life anyways, and now our son doesn't have a foreskin, but here, now you got some bloody foreskin feet. It's kind of like a mean move.
All right, picking up with verse 27. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. The end.
Yeah, I like how no detail is spared, right? It's like Aaron and Moses, you know. But I guess people were kissing. It was more of a hug back then, right? Like, was it a cheek-cheek like, hey, bro.
I don't know. There's lots of, we've heard about, you know, kissing, brothers kissing before. Our favorite ritual, I believe, so far is putting your hand under someone's thigh when you swear a promise to them.
Like you salmon someone?
I mean, it's not really described well enough to know, but I like to think you stick it between their leg and a chair.
But this.
Underneath. Yeah, Jordy is flipping a Bic lighter back and forth rapidly between his thumb and index fingers.
It's good salmoning.
And now it looks more vulgar because he's using his index and middle finger.
I don't want to be salmoned.
Yeah, but that is, it's camaraderie.
Yeah, the kissing isn't out of context. But, I mean, we've never seen someone kiss with foreskin blood on their feet before.
No, that's what I'm saying. This translation is really interesting to me because they will have just, like, three-word sentences in there that don't seem like the greatest details. But just in case, you know, you don't want anything to get lost.
Well, yeah, I don't know. There's always lacking detail where I want there to be detail.
I don't know.
And because of that... Wait, what's that?
You need Shakespeare's. You need Shakespeare's KJV.
Shakespeare did a Bible translation?
Yeah, he did like a lot of KJV.
Well, I've got to say, we've read a lot of different translations, and sometimes simultaneously. I don't think this translation is leaving out detail that's there in another version.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, it's interesting that they're just going to say, like the wording, I still really like the line of, like, the Lord found Moses and almost killed him. Like, that's how you open a paragraph. Yeah. What is, why is it worded that way?
Well, let me look it up right quick in the KJV.
Because it's funny, it's like if Moses, like, it's like he popped out of an alley and was going to, like, mug them. It's like, how do you know he's going to kill you?
And also, the Lord doesn't just kill people in normal ways, ever. Like, it's never, except for the one time a guy spilled some seed and was smited. Uh-oh. Like, that way, that happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is out of the King James Version. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him.
See, that's better. That's better to me.
Yeah, it definitely sounds better.
All right. I mean...
He has an objective in that.
I'm nonplussed by it.
Okay. Well,
I mean, there's no more information other than just like...
It's the same. It just... It makes you feel better about it. There's intention behind it, not just the Lord popped out, scared Moses, and had a taser in his hand.
Wait, he can't kill someone with a taser? Silly God.
Yeah.
All right. So, rating this on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, I'm gonna give it a 3.5, just because I want some more detail. A lot of cool things happen here. There's a lot of Bible magic. I don't know. Maybe I should give it a 4. But right now I'm leaning on a 3.5. What do you guys feel?
Daniel?
Yeah, Adam's being more generous today. I wasn't expecting a 2.5.
But I said 3.5.
No, I mean, I was expecting a 2.5 from you.
Even with all this magic?
Yeah, I know. For whatever reason, I thought you were digging it, but you're right. There's a lot of cool magic. Every time there's circumcision, it's fun. Like, circumcision is fun every time.
Yeah.
And when the Bible brings it up, like, there's always a good story when there's some circumcision. Like, it's never just normal circumcision.
This time you get kinky feet stuff in with it.
You know what? I agree. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars as well.
And Daniel, sometimes you try to pull out a moral message. Do you have a moral for this chapter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's when God tells you he can do something and to do something, you should just do it. And especially in... And also, that saying, like, when you get a parking ticket, just, like, the second you get a parking ticket, just pay it right then. Because if you don't, you're probably going to, like, forget, and then it's going to become more expensive, and it's going to become a problem. Same thing with circumcision.
You go find the meter maid?
No, well, if you can, yeah, just pull out some cash, pay them off right there. Okay. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to circumcision, do it right away. Because you might forget, and then all before you know it, God is in your inn and trying to kill you, you know. And then the wife has to, you know, again, the woman has to fix all the problems in the Bible.
Yeah, that's a good message, Daniel. Thanks.
Yeah. And yeah, kids, pay your parking tickets early. That's a message.
Pay your parking tickets, get circumcised. Jordy, how do you feel about this chapter?
You know, I mean, I really don't like the translation. It's pretty much the only thing that I've said. But it's really... What did you say it was? What is it called?
It's the New International Version, which is the most commonly read form of the Bible.
Yeah, not in this house, guys. No, I mean, it's a solid...
Well, here's the deal, Jordy. The reason why I tend to lean toward these more modern translations is if you're listening passively to a podcast and someone says, and it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Like, I don't know what the first half of that sentence means. And it came to pass by the way in the end.
It just makes me think of The Witcher, you know what I mean? It just sounds badass. It sounds like God's got two swords, a silver one for monsters and then a steel one for humans.
Well, which one is for dicks?
Which one is for dicks?
Yeah, he's got two swords, one for killing and one for circumcising.
Well, for my dick, it'd have to be silver because it's a monster. yikes. No, I think four stars. Whoa, because,
four stars. Okay.
Because God was like, you want to do some tricks? I'll show you some tricks. Pop, pop, take your sandals off first. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. Look at that. Ooh, it's a bush. I think it's cool. I still, you know, and Moses, it's going to come, it's a foreshadowing, right? Because Moses is going to do a big snake cane trick and, like, blow the roof off of the Egypt, like, throne room. People go batshit when he comes in and starts doing magic. It's crazy.
Well, I hope we get there next week. I'm not sure where the next. I hope we get there next episode. I'm not sure exactly when that unfolds. But next time, we'll be looking at Exodus 5. And in your honor, Jordy, if you will agree to be a guest again, we'll read it out of the King James Version.
Ooh, get some of that Shakespeare. Big City Slams.
Jordy, would you come back again and be our guest?
Yeah, I'll be your neighbor.
Do you have anything to talk about, Jordy? You got anything to advertise?
Well, I am going to go to my very first Pokemon VGC tournament in Collinsville, Illinois at the end of February.
Whoa!
So if I make it to the second day, then you'll be able to watch me on stream.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's dope. Hell yeah. Jordy, are you going to be packing the same team, or are you still switching things around?
Oh, it's constantly switching things around.
That's dope.
Trying to make Lapras cool.
Well, if we get the link to that stream, we'll put it in the episode description.
And I'll be watching for sure.
It's just a live YouTube stream. They just stream.
Well, we're still gonna put the link.
Put the link for the YouTube. Just YouTube.
YouTube.com.
YouTube. Nintendo. The Pokemon Company.
And then a large description on how to find it.
Yeah, just tell people where the hotel is that they're holding it and give the directions and my room number.
All right, everybody. I'm gonna get out of here before I have half an hour to edit. And we'll catch you next time on Reading Heathens. Follow us on Instagram at HostedPod. Email your complaints or suggestions to hostedpod@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.